Welcome to episode 4 of this season's Idiom America, where we look at idioms, those bits of language that have a meaning that if you didn't already know it, you couldn't readily deduce it just from the meaning of the individual words themselves, which gives these bits of language some color and history that are fun to delve into in this podcast. In episode 2, we looked at some cutting idioms, and there are more out there that I didn't cover, so I thought I'd return to those. For example, where did the idiom cut it out, as in knock it off, come from? Obviously, you're not literally asking someone to cut something out, like a coupon, or knock something off, like somebody off their pedestal or high horse. But instead, you're pleading with somebody to stop doing something, maybe because it's kind of annoying or going to get you in trouble with the teacher. First, let's consider knock it off, as that one might be easier to come up with some kind of folk etymological origin. And this one seems likely to have arisen from the auction context in the early 1800s, where you could picture somebody urging an auctioneer to end the bidding by knocking his gavel and selling it at the current bid. And there's a usage from 1834 in the U.S. Senate record along those lines where it says, if nobody bid, after it was cried 2 or 3 times, he would say, knock it off, knock it off. The origin of cut it out is a little harder to pinpoint. Looking at Google Ingram, it seems to have arisen as an idiom right around the turn of the 20th century, where it started to pop up in a lot of those little sermons or poems that were making the rounds in a bunch of newspapers and journals at the time. For example, there was a piece called Cut It Out that was attributed to the Chicago Livestock World that made the rounds in trade publications in 1901-02, and it begins, when you get hot about something and vow you're going to rip something or somebody up the back, cut it out. If you feel disposed to try the plan of building yourself up by tearing someone else down, cut it out. Or take another piece from a weekly publication out of Phoenix, Arizona called The Native American in 1905 called Cut It Out. If to gamble you're inclined, cut it out. If tobacco dulls your mind, cut it out. If an aching corn remains, cut it out. If your appendix complains, cut it out. So initially it seems like this one started as a more straightforward usage of eliminating something bad in one's life, like a bad habit or a troublesome part of the body, by cutting it out, literally in some cases, like the aching corn or the complaining appendix. And from there, I suppose it's not too much of a leap from eliminating something undesirable from your life to using cut it out to mean stopping something more generally, which is how it's used today. And there are some more cut out idioms out there, like I'm not cut out for this sort of work, meaning I'm not naturally suited to it. Or to have your work cut out for you, meaning you have a difficult task ahead to accomplish. And that second one, to have your work cut out for you, dates back to the 1600s, and it arose with tailors and shoemakers, with the image there of them having their fabric or leather all cut out in preparation for making a garment or shoe. So their work is all cut out for them, ready for them to commence the harder part of putting it all together. And by the 1800s, this one seems to have gotten more generalized and to have come into its current usage, where to have your work cut out for you means you have got a difficult task ahead. And one of the first recorded uses of it, sort of in this sense, is in Charles Dickens' 1843 Christmas Carol, where the use of the idiom also kind of harkens back to cut a rug and how cut is often used with dancing. And it also ties in a little bit the tailoring origin of this idiom. Then old Fezziwig stood out to dance with Mrs. Fezziwig. Top couple, too, with a good stiff piece of work cut out for them. 3 or 4 and 20 pair of partners, people who were not to be trifled with, people who would dance and had no notion of walking. And when old Fezziwig and Mrs. Fezziwig had gone all through the dance, advance and retire, both hands to your partner, bow and curtsy, corkscrew, thread the needle, and back again to your place, Fezziwig cut so deftly that he appeared to wink with his legs and came upon his feet again without a stagger. To not be cut out for something, meaning to not be the right type of person for something, also seems to have come from tailoring, where you cut out specific pieces of fabric and then put them all together again according to some pattern or design. So if you get a piece that wasn't cut out for that pattern. It's easy to see how that usage could then be broadened to mean anything that's not naturally suited for something. And speaking of cutting stuff out of fabric, there's the idiom cut from whole cloth, which is also heard sometimes as just out of whole cloth. And this one, of course, means something entirely fictional or utterly false, completely fabricated and not based on reality at all. And this, again, seems to have come from tailors, and it's a reference to those who would falsely advertise their garments as being made out of whole cloth or from one piece, when in reality they were pieced together from different cuts. And I'm not entirely sure why clothes made from a single bolt of cloth were considered preferable to those made from leftover pieces. Fewer seams, perhaps, or unity of appearance, or maybe it just spoke to luxury and quality to be able to use the prime cut of cloth, not scraps. Kind of like a cut of steak versus the scraps used to make burger or sausage, maybe. And I got to think that this one was also helped along by the fact that there's kind of a correspondence with one meaning of fabric or fabrication as being cloth. And fabrication is also meaning a lie or falsehood. And this also reminds me of weaving a web of lies. You have Sir Walter Scott in 1808. "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." Another one I figured had something to do with tailoring is that idiom, to cut a certain figure, meaning to convey a certain image or appearance. And it's used most often to refer to males, particularly ones in uniform, but it can be used for anyone in any context or for anything, really. And the four ways you most often hear this one are probably to cut a fine figure or cut a dashing figure for the positive side, and then for the negative, to cut a poor figure or sorry figure. But you can throw most any adjective in there if you want. Cut a funny figure, cut a pathetic figure, a ridiculous one, and on and on. And I can't really find out much about this one other than it seems to have been around for a really long time. What about cut a deal, as in cut a deal with the devil, or cut a record deal, or cut a deal with the prosecuting attorney? And for some reason, this one has always carried, for me at least, some kind of latent connotation with gambling. Maybe because you cut the cards before someone deals them, I don't know. But somebody on the internet took a look at this one, though, and they came up with a whole theory about how they thought it originated from some early ritual practices in the Bible, where the deal in question was a covenant between people and God, and so you had this covenant or contract where God would promise something to people, not to flood the world again, or to give Abraham a son, for example, in exchange for something in return. Obedience to a rule of some kind, or sacrificing that son, perhaps. Anyway, to ritualize the agreement, an animal was often sacrificed, cut in two, with the parties passing between the two halves for contracts back in the day. And so, since making a covenant always involved the cutting up of some animals or sacrifice, that led to the idiom, cut a deal. I don't know, it sounds pretty far-fetched to me for a lot of reasons, though. Not the least of which is that this one really didn't start to show up, surprisingly, with any kind of frequency until the latter part of the 1900s. In fact, it's in the 1970s when it seems to have really started to take off as an idiom, like this 1979 usage from the New York Times magazine. "And so we may have to cut a deal with the Soviets. We do not like to do this because cutting deals with the Soviets is hazardous, and often the Soviets end up holding all the cards." So we got a card game reference there again. So although the origin on this one is a little unclear, I think it's as good a guess as any that it ultimately came from cards and the practice of cutting the cards before you deal. Well, I'm starting to strike out a bit when it comes to being able to pinpoint origins for some of these cutting idioms, and I've got a bunch more cutting idioms worth looking at, so I think I'll just go through them kind of lightning round style without trying to dig too deep. First, there's cut against the grain, as in the artist always cut against the grain, meaning contrary to what is generally accepted or understood, or to the natural inclination or feeling of someone or something. And this one, of course, comes from the fact that wood is easier to cut along the line of the grain than across it or against it. And next is cut the cord, meaning to become independent of someone, to stop relying on them or needing them to look after you. And this is used particularly to refer to a relationship with one's parents, but it could also refer to any kind of relationship. A newly independent country and its former colonizer, for example. And this, of course, refers to the cutting of the umbilical cord that happens when a baby is born. And it's interesting to see that this one has also taken on a second life as a reference to the cutting of the cord that's come as cordless technology and streaming have advanced, you know, cutting the old landline and strictly relying on a cell phone, or cutting out the cable TV and just streaming Netflix, for example. Then there's to cut both ways, referring to an action or phenomenon that can have both good and bad effects, as in fame cuts both ways, or watching TV news to inform yourself cuts both ways. Or it can also refer to a point or statement that can serve both sides of an argument, like freedom of speech cuts both ways. And one immediately thinks here of the companion idiom, double-edged sword, for a sword that cuts both ways, which is probably how this one arose. And it's a popular idiom used for hundreds of years. And when you're talking about cutting things with a double-edged sword, what about knives? As in the idiom, you could cut it with a knife, meaning that something is very strong or intense with the underlying premonition that something unpleasant could happen. And the thing being cut here is usually the tension, but you also hear it with atmosphere or air too, or even kind of any kind of tense general feeling in the room, really. And the idea here, of course, is that the feeling is so palpable that it's thick or pervasive enough to physically slice through with a knife. Another cutting idiom, one that we might not hear as much going forward, is to cut a check. Now that we have Venmo and PayPal and online banking, and checks are becoming a rarer breed. And there's a whole fascinating history behind this one that has to do with the perforation of checks by banks or corporations. There are all kinds of patents for check-cutting machines that would perforate these checks or cut them, starting in the late 1800s. And some of the perforations would be to mirror the printed amount so that the amounts couldn't be changed by just changing the ink. And then there was the practice of indicating a check was paid by the bank by perforating it with something like a paid stamp on it. And there were a lot more perforations in the processing of checks over the years, but it does seem like this one arose through the practice of a corporation using one of these check cutting machines to perforate the check. So cutting a check came to mean issuing one, or even cutting the checks used to come in books and you would cut them out. That's another possibility. Then there's cut to ribbons, also heard as cut to shreds, meaning to destroy or defeat decisively. And cut to ribbons arose in America in the early 19th century, with cut to shreds arising half a century or so later. And this one is often also used to mean to criticize someone severely, as in, the critics just cut her acting to ribbons. And sure, there's the image of a piece of cloth just being shredded to pieces that kind of corresponds to this idiom's meaning, but why ribbons? Seems like kind of an odd thing to me. But sadly, this is one of those whose origin seems lost to time, and there doesn't seem to be much out there that I could find anyway about where this one comes from. And another good cutting idiom is to cut corners, meaning to do something in the easiest, cheapest, or quickest way, often by ignoring rules or leaving something out, especially at the expense of high standards. And I figured this one arose in a pretty straightforward way to reflect the physical act of going from A to B by the shortest possible route, you know, like a pedestrian that crosses through an intersection diagonally. And it seems that this is more or less correct, as there are multiple examples from the 1800s, like walking via an untried shortcut, or the fox hunting parties that were on horseback and they wouldn't follow the dog directly in order to catch up with the dogs, or carriages that took a corner too sharply so that the wheels would hit the curb. And all of these situations had a risk to them. An unknown shortcut might be dangerous. Horses might fall on some unseen obstacles that the dog pack didn't come across on the route. A carriage might break a wheel or axle, or even overturn on the curb. So that's why something that might seem to be a positive one just being efficient, taking a straight line, has come to take on the negative meaning of doing something in an easy, cheap way that is sacrificing quality or risking the shortcut coming back to bite you. Well, there are even more cutting idioms out there, so I'm probably cutting a long story short a little bit, but that'll do for this episode. Thanks for listening.